Every day, millions of people around the world will wake up in darkness. But the sad part is, millions will go to bed at the end of the day never having seen the light. And like someone driving down the road at night with no headlights on their car, all these people can do is hope to steer clear of some calamity in life. Hope of steering clear of the big crash that will devastate their lives. I'm talking about spiritual darkness here, the kind of darkness that we experience when we choose to live our lives apart from God and God's will for us. When we do that, we're choosing to live in darkness. John says here in his first letter earlier, he says, God is light and in Him there's no darkness at all. So when we walk in God's will, we're walking in God's light. It's a way of life in which we are living life in fear when we live in darkness. We're living life hoping that there's no crash to devastate our lives. It's a way of life in which we have no peace, no joy, no strength, because we can't be sure of anything. Now, for some who might dare to say, no, I'm all right, I'm happy, I have life under control, I know how to handle things, I know what's best for me, I pray that God does not allow you to be humbled like the Israelites when they were carried off into captivity for 70 years by the Babylonians because they turned away from God, chose their own ways, and they said, no, this is okay, we know what's best for us. But for the rest of us who admit that we are not in control and we need a light in this dark world to help us, John gives us three wonderful practical pointers here to help us walk in God's will. People say to me all the time, I don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know what God wants me to do. And today I want to begin with the first one that he gives us. This is practical application that we can apply to our lives every day. You don't need to be a theologian. You don't need to be a scholar. It's for the common person, everyone, from children to adults. First, I want to say that walking with God does not mean that we are without sin in our lives. Walking with God does not mean that we are without sin in our lives. It's like taking a new tractor and starting to farm with it. It's just going to get dirty along the way. You cannot be out in the fields of life and not get dirty. That new four-wheeler that we buy is going to get dirty while we're going along the paths and the trails. And that's how it is with our spiritual lives walking with the Lord. But we have to remember, as followers of Jesus Christ, first and foremost, we are forgiven. We are not perfect, we are forgiven. Secondly, we have responsibilities as followers of Christ. Our faith in Jesus Christ is a practical faith that we apply and practice in our lives. We're not on some divine cruise control. God gives us grace in Jesus Christ, but He also gives us responsibilities to live according to His will. It's called responsible grace. And our text begins today with John continuing on about the character of our conduct as followers of Christ. He says, we know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. You see, we obey Him because we know Him and are in Him. To know Him and to be in Him means that we have a personal relationship with Him that goes beyond just knowing who Jesus was and is. And because of that personal relationship that we have with Christ, we obey Him because we trust that what He commands to us is best. We trust that our friend knows what's best for us and what He tells us to do. Christ's commands are moral expressions of God's nature to us. Christ's commands to us are moral expressions of God's nature. And though they are plural, and there are many, they are one in nature for the purpose of making us followers complete in the light and the love of God. God's commands are communicated to us by the expression of His will that's revealed in Jesus Christ. I want to repeat that because that's important. God's commands are communicated to you and I by the expression of His will, in other words, expressing His will as it's revealed in Jesus Christ teaching you and I in His commands. And knowing Him is not intellectual or mystical. You see, it's not an intellectual deal that we have to attain some certain high knowledge. That's called Gnosticism. That's an old ancient belief and religion that Paul fought against thousands of years ago. It's not intellectual. It's not some mystical, spooky thing that we can't all attain. Knowing Him fully is proportional to applying God's will to our lives every day. In other words, the more we apply God's will to our lives every day, the more we come to know Him. And it says, we know that we've come to know Him if we obey His commands. John goes on to say, the man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar and the truth is not in him. In other words, this person is disobedient. They might know Him intellectually, but they don't do what Christ commands. They're disobedient and they're a liar. But by contrast, he says, if anyone obeys His word, then God's love is truly made complete in him. God's love is truly made complete in him. In other words, the person who is disobedient is a liar, but the person who is obedient to His word is made complete. The King James Version says, whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Whoever keeps God's word or God's commands, God's statutes, in him is the love of God perfected. And it says, hereby, by this, know that we are in Him by keeping His word. In other words, we become complete or mature by obeying Christ. And that comes through our walk with Him, much like fruit or vegetables mature over time and complete their ripening. We mature and we ripen as we walk with Him day by day. And John says, this is how we know that we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Having a personal relationship with Christ is like walking with Him. Day by day, step by step, walking with Him, like Him, living like Him, obedient to Him as we go along the way, knowing that He's alive and right there with us. In this way, we mature to be like Him. We learn by doing as we go. And if our focus in life is being obedient to Christ, we will begin to see life in a whole new light, God's light. If our focus in life is being obedient to Christ, we'll begin to deal with life in a whole new way, God's way. And it's like having a great light shed on our lives to show us what is really important in life. The light comes on and we say, oh yes, now I understand, now I see. This over here isn't important, but this is. So the first practical advice that John gives us here is to just simply obey Christ. Just simply obey Christ. Like sheep, we say, we commit to, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I don't want anything else. I want the Lord as my shepherd because He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He gives me that peaceful rest. And He leads me beside the still waters where I'm nourished, where I'm at peace. And what does He do? He restores my soul. He makes me to lie down. He leads me beside the still waters and He restores my soul. That even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because He's with us and His rod and His staff, they comfort us. Knowing that He is in control of life and we trust in Him that He's walking with us, taking care of us like sheep, guiding us, providing for us, corralling us back in when we go astray. So the first advice here is to simply obey Christ. And how do we do that? We turn to the red letters in our Bibles. If you don't have a Bible with Christ's words in red, you need to get one. It's a big help. Christ says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, first and foremost. Jesus says, store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, first and foremost in your life. What will glorify God and His kingdom? That's what I want to do in life. He says that it's better to give than to receive, because in the giving, we receive the blessing of the Lord on our lives. We receive the joy knowing that God has used us as vessels to pass on to someone else what He's given us, knowing that He's faithful and going to continue to supply for us. Jesus says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God, telling us that we have to be born again spiritually, spiritual babes, to begin that new path and that new walk with Christ. And the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation in Him. Jesus says, love each other as I have loved you. And that's just the tip of the iceberg, folks. And until the millions of people who walk in spiritual darkness every day begin to obey Christ, they will never know the joy, the peace, the completeness that Christ, the light of the world, has to offer the world. You know anybody that's living in darkness this morning? You know anybody that's rebelling against God? Anybody who's angry? Anybody who's resentful? Anybody who's jealous? Our world is full of this kind of stuff, folks. Our world's a dark place, sadly, because our world has chosen to turn our backs on God and follow the ways of the world and love the world, thinking that we can find our way through to something better in the end. But folks, sin is darkness. Rebellion against God is darkness. Living in lies instead of the truth of God in Jesus Christ is darkness. And we don't have night vision. We like to think that we're nocturnal and that we can find our way out and find the right direction, but we can't. It's impossible, because unless we have the illumination of the Holy Spirit guiding us along, we're stumbling in darkness. And unless we heed the great light shining out over the harbor of life, we're doomed to destruction on the rocks of pride and self. Unless we obey the horn calling out to us and guiding us through the treacherous waters that we sail each day, folks, we're lost at sea. On Friday night, my family and I drove by a park down in Mifflinburg where some little league teams were playing baseball. And really nice little park, and as we saw them playing, I noticed that they had all the lights on there on the ball field. But it wasn't even dark out yet. Why do they have all those lights on, spending all that money when it's not even dark out yet? It's not like when we used to play, when we were kids playing in the fields up out back of Glenmar. We played all dark. We didn't want to quit. Sometimes that was dangerous, but we had a ball doing it. But you see, these little league players did not want to miss a play. They did not want to make an error. They wanted to make each play correctly, and they needed the lights to help them see what would potentially be their errors, and these lights to help them correct their movements and help them in the way that they played the game. We can never be too eager to allow the light of life of Jesus Christ to be turned on our field. It's never too soon, even if we think we can see. Is our world a dark place? You better believe our world's a dark place. But Jesus says in John 16, these things I have spoken to you, these things I have taught you, these things I have commanded you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. In the world you have tribulation. In the world you have darkness. But take courage. Jesus Christ has overcome the darkness.